But in the end, everybody in the coffee supply chain is influenced by the most important benchmarks for coffee prices.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 2 of a 5-part series with Fabricio Andrade from San Coffee in Brazil. In this series, we are talking about the volatility of the coffee supply chain in 2024. And in the last episode, we talked about like all the different things that are making coffee volatile over the next 12 to 24 months. In this episode, Fabricio, we're going to talk about the price of coffee and why it's so volatile. So you being an economist, tell us why coffee is such a the price of coffee is so volatile.
Oh, that's a challenging question, but hello, how are you?
Good.
in the end, Lee, coffee is a product, and it's called a commodity because it's a product that has standards, and they can be traded in exchange, and people understand it, what a coffee would look and taste like by reading a contract or specifications without the need of tasting the coffee by itself. So they can expect something that they will be purchasing or selling out of the specifications. And in general, that makes it a commodity. And of course, there are multiple layers of commoditization in coffee because you come from a kind of commodity coffees that are really close to those traded in the exchange ICE in New York and also in London. And then you move forward into the specialty and specialization, and the degree to which these coffees upwards into the quality pyramid, specialization pyramid, they are not 100% correlated with the commodity by itself. But in the end, everybody in the coffee supply chain is influenced by the most important benchmarks for coffee prices. And the coffee prices benchmark in the exchange, on the exchanges, they are the average of the expectations of sellers and producers of supply and demand in the future for the products that coffee that they'll be selling and others producing, purchasing. And so these, it's all about this expectation. And then these expectations come out of, they change out of the perception and the interpretation about the variables that will be influencing supply and demand, and also how much risk these players in the supply chain are willing to take. So now, by a macroeconomic perspective, these are the mechanism where coffee prices are formed based on. And then we can start talking about the sources of risk that create the risk, which is fluctuation of coffee prices. Because coffee prices fluctuation risk is only the consequence of the volatility and fluctuation of prices and supply and demand of many other things. And by the way, just get everybody in the same page, risk and volatility is the fluctuation, the standard deviation by statistic point of view of a result along the way in comparison to what is expected to it to be. Can be the average or it can be something that's a target, an arbitrary target.
Let's try and explain that in a way that's that people who perhaps don't understand statistical terms or more scientific terms or technical terms, how would you explain that to the average person?
Well, for a producer or a rooster, he's starting to budget his or her business prior to the start of the fiscal year. And then someone make the calculation for costs and for sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the prediction. And then the risk is the likelihood, the probability of the real costs and the real revenues and sales are different in the future than what you predicted before. So those are the risks. So your right. margins can be high or can be lower.
So essentially what we're saying is that what we expect isn't always what ends up turning out. And the difference between exactly. what we expect and the actual outcome is where the risk is.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And
so for a content producer, the risks are in the cost that he expects his bag of coffee or his pound of coffee to be. And the sales price he will be achieving when he decides to sell his coffee.
So the when the producer expects that something is going to cost him X dollars, and so his prediction is going to cost him X, and then if it does cost him that, he's going to be able to sell that bag for Y amount. Ooh. And there are a lot of external factors that can influence both of those two different numbers. And it sounds like things like geopolitics and economics and logistics and government policy, as well as inflation and all of these kinds of things are external factors that impact both of the predictions that happen at the beginning when the producer is saying, so I think I'm going to be able to produce a pound of coffee for this much. And if I can produce it for this much, I'm going to sell it for this other amount. Am exactly. I understanding that correctly?
You nailed it. Yeah. Okay,
so,
like when we predicted as producers in 2021 that we'll be harvesting X amount of coffee bags and our cost production per bag of coffee in Brazil will be Y. And mm-hmm. then the frost hit into right. July 2021. And then just afterwards, we were kind of recovering off the, right. the hit we got. And then Russia invaded Ukraine in yep. February 2022. And the price of fertilizers tripled yep. immediately.
Yep.
So these are the kind of factors that has huge and direct impact in the budgeting and the real outcome that we have from our businesses, being producers or being roasters or whatever it is in the supply chain.
Now I want to ask you, we've established that, and then we're going to add another element to it, which is the cost of capital and the cost of something that most people don't understand in the coffee industry is the risk that the producer carries based on time. And what I mean by that is if a producer is making a prediction that it's going to cost this much to produce a pound of coffee and I'm going to sell it for Y, a different amount, the time that it takes for me to do that as a producer and then the amount of time it gets me to send it to the person who's going to buy it as green coffee, I have to take on board the risk. And a lot of the time that risk is funded by credit or capital that I get from an external source. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, if you are lucky to get access to this external source of money that you can borrow, because unfortunately there are many producers that are not able to do it, but you're right.
A lot of people don't understand the burden that producers are carrying so that they can get their coffee. Can you help people understand the kind of life cycle of money when it comes to being on a farm or being a producer? What's the stress and the risk like for a producer that's working in this space?
That's a good point. The first aspect is that coffee, you harvest it once or twice or eventually three times, but it's heavily concentrated within the income flow is heavily concentrated within a couple of months into the year. And that's the first aspect of the grower. So whenever they start spending in the beginning of the cycle, purchasing fertilizers, cultivating the trees, debranching them, hiring people, they are paying prices, kind of paying for these resources in advance, but they still don't know necessarily how much his coffee price will be in the future. And then there are many people that would say, okay, Fabrizio, but have you ever heard about hedging tools that the producer can get access to it? I said, yes, I have heard about it. I have heard about it. But then if the producer, okay, he does his mathematics, I'll be producing X amount of coffee bags and the price now is Y. And then if I sell these X amount of bags by Y, I will have this amount of revenue so I can pay for this coffee, for these resources I'm using to cultivate my coffee trees. And then there is a frost or a drought or something that bring his production down. So he has committed all his money to purchase these resources and he has hedged his price, but he doesn't have coffee to deliver and to get his money back. So this is a nutshell of something that is real and it's been happening really often in the production of coffee everywhere in the world. So there are tools to mitigate risks, but there are risks that are not 100% hedged, possible to hedge them.
And it's also hedging is quite a privilege. Like in order for you to hedge against the sea market, you've got to understand how to do that. You've got to have access to capital in order to do that. You've got to have at least extra resource to be able to do that, where most producers are not lucky enough to be able to start playing in that space.
Yeah, I cannot speak to all the countries because I don't know all of them in depth. But in Brazil, yes, the producer to get access by himself to these hedging tools, he needs to get a little bit more money to be a little bit more educated.
Yep.
But the cooperatives have been doing a great job in facilitating these hedging tools to the producers in Brazil recently.
It's going
so
to be...
the cooperatives can help a lot.
And that's wonderful that the cooperatives can help. The challenge in a lot of origins is that the cooperatives are not independently owned. They're owned by a lot of the big importers and exporters, and they have, you know, they need to be buying the coffee at a specific price from producers, whether they're buying it in Cherry or whatever state they're buying it in. They need to make their money and as much of their money as they can as well. So all of this stuff is going to impact the price of coffee, you know, which raises a really interesting thing there. Which price of coffee are we talking about? Are we talking of the price of coffee that gets sold to the person who's buying the end product that's going to be roasted? Are we talking about the farm gate price? What do we mean by the farm gate price? Are we talking about the price that we're selling to the co-op? There's so many different places that coffee costs a different thing. And how do we assess the volatility of how that's working and where the volatility lies in the supply chain when it comes to pricing? Where is it? Do you know, Fabrizio?
Where is it? That's a good point.
Liz. Is it more at the cherry point? If a producer is selling their cherry, is the price more volatile? Is it more volatile if they're getting it to a wet mill? Where is it? Where's the volatility?
I believe, and again, I need to be to do a disclaimer here, because eventually there are some people saying, hey, Fabrizio, and Lee, volatility is to everyone in the world. So everybody faces certainty. Everybody faces struggles in business, in life.
Yep.
And it's not only on the producing side. Yeah, it's right.
Correct.
But then the producers, they are in the supply chain. They are, there are a lot of them living in remote areas with lack of access. So far, we need to mitigate it. We need to overcome and to address this problem. But so far, it's still the reality. With
yeah.
lack of access to information, knowledge, and so forth. Though we need to help them out, understand it, and do right thing by themselves along the way, but it mm-hmm. takes time. So that's the only thing we need to help them out. And the volatility is everywhere. Everybody faces risk. But under my comprehension, the only link in the supply chain that works and most of the time unhedged is the producing side.
Mm-hmm.
So producing sides, they are not hedged within their cost of production nor by their prices most of the time. But then you come to the wet mill, cooperatives, exporters, importers, roasters, supermarket, everyone is trying to hedge their position in order to lock in their sales prices and their cost of production or acquisition. So that's my point here. Everybody faces the same volatility, but there are some that are working wisely in locking sales price and cost, and there are others that are not, which okay. are most of the time the producer.
In the next conversation, friends, we're going to take what we've spoken about here in this conversation, which is why the price of coffee is so volatile. And then we're going to take a look at how that has a very real impact specifically for coffee producers. Because as Fabrizio was saying, everyone's experiencing volatility when it comes to pricing. You know, a cafe hedges against coffee that could be a loss leader by selling muffins, right? So they're expecting that the extra profit that they're making in a muffin is going to hedge against any losses that they may make in the coffee. And they're hoping that they sell enough muffins so that they can hedge against that as a loss leader. We get it. But the producers are the ones that are carrying the majority of the risk here. They are the ones that are most open to external forces that are going to derail the potential of their success. So join us in the next episode as we explore why the price volatility will impact producers the most and how it will impact them the most. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.